Welcome, welcome to a lovely episode of Self-Empowered Women. And this is on a lovely day where it's raining, so the lighting might be a little bit on and off. But we're going to start with, I'm self-empowered, a whole one-year-old, a whole three-year-old, I'm a whole self, and I have differentiation of the self, secure attachment, and integration of the brain. You can be here too, but that's if you want to do personal development and self-help or good therapy alongside it. Personal development, because your emotional body is yours to calibrate. Okay, I'm attachment trauma informed. I'm an enlightenment soul age group human being and a 5D mystic. It's woo woo pseudoscience because I respect academia, also social media, social platform, supporting people who want to do their be themselves. Okay, and online entrepreneur and marketer. And I don't like to present myself, but a little bit of who your podcast host is. And here's where I have never been lonely, like Sadhguru, because the source of creation has never left me for not even one moment, nor anyone. Yeah, but that's only if a person maintains their inner child. So some people, they first need to get back home to themselves. And that's why a 5D mystic will welcome anyone and everyone as a functional adult, a secure attachment human being, restorative embodiment, an empowered woman. So there's no gender stereotypes. None of that toxic stuff going on out there. No, femininity, masculinity. One, I'm a divine feminine with my own divine masculine. I know my divine masculines of my oversoul, my twin flames, my soulmates. That's why I'm a solo polyamory person. I love more than just one person, as more than just a friend. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what the solo poly journey is like, but we'll talk a little bit about this and that as always. And before we move forward, though, here's Pat Ogden, lovely PhD, Pat Ogden, sensory motor. You can build in a sense of self-worth in the structure of your brain by taking better care of your body. Then we also have our lovely, here it is, Joanne Borisenko, PhD. And you can find these quotes at NICABM on YouTube. Okay, that's their handle. And I have a buttload of beautiful courses with them. They have a number of beautiful courses for 1 or 2 years. I had the membership subscription, and I am learning so much. And they have trauma in-depth courses. I've gotten 2, if not 3 or 4 of those from them. And also recently an in-depth version course on dissociative disorders, which has been really helpful. And it accompanied my courses with Mindsight Institute, Daniel Siegel, the disorganized attachment and dissociative identity disorder, which is really great to support anyone who comes across my way and to talk about all of our lovely conversations. Okay, so let's read Joanne Borisenko, PhD. Shame is the poison plant of emotions. It takes a lot to clinically erase that tracing of shame, which really is so deeply connected in the nervous system. And then we also have our lovely Patrick Tiahan. If we don't explore our reactions from our past and the impact they have on those around us, the messy disaster just repeats. Your childhood trauma comes with you if you don't heal it. And that's why we see a lot of maladaptive child behaviors out there. The people who use buzzwords, so when I say I don't use words, it's I don't label things. And some people, they like to use words in boxes. I'm a divine feminine with my own divine masculine. I am a person who goes around. So in fact, if you're chit-chatting or taking notes, you're not going to find yourself understanding where I'm going because you're already talking. So what you want to do is enjoy the conversation. It's food for thought and leave it alone. I'm not trying to prove anything. That's for the left mode people. They try to prove things. They try to be linear, logical. I'm saying here's what it's like to tap into one, the infinite higher human consciousness potential experience. Enlightenment soul age group is very accessible. Neuroscientists talk about it, and I talk about it. And again, I'm a spirituality person. I begin with Jesus, and I love God. I call God consciousness, Akash, other words, to respect 3D, 4D. And spirituality, at this point, I have lovely Sadhguru that I can turn to. And thank goodness yoga is trending, because yoga supports your nervous system. It is a portfolio of ventral vagal nervous system toning exercises. Thank you, Stephen Porges. And I bring human, spiritual, and spirituality elements. These are subject matters together. Okay, so for a self-empowered woman, our relationships, we love more, not less. And I have no issue with men except for one. the ones who tell me, Maria, you're not a man. So yes, the stereotypes are true. And I'm like, fine, then I'm going to talk as an empowered woman about the empowered men that I meet. And your stereotypes are not true, because those empowered men don't fit those stereotypes, not even a little bit. So there's that. Okay. And there is, let me see if there's anything else that I wanted to share. No, not really. Patrick Tiahan. Okay. And we'll do one last with Sadhguru. What is generally considered as a failure deepens your experience of life far more than what you consider as success. Now, this is only if you are actually going to be an emotionally welcoming person. Because if you're not lifting the emotions and then creating resiliency, and so you're learning how to repair whatever takes place here, this is the part of where you're going to feel lonely because you didn't see or soothe your nervous system, so you don't feel safe or secure to be yourself. Okay, so getting here is something wasn't hard for me because I have a twin and a mom, and my environment externally with relationships has consistently been one with unflappability, equanimity, neutrality. Differences doesn't mean defective, it means different. And my mother's also from Naples, Italy. So there's a saying, every cockroach is beautiful to their mother. So I knew even if I was an ugly cockroach, I'd still be beautiful, which is really good for women, because us girls, as we're growing up, we will have the whole body stuff. Yeah. So thanks to having healthy self-worth, having been given a safe, intimate environment in here, and with relationships, knowing how to repair ruptures, because it's not a big deal if we're fighting with my twin, and we love each other unconditionally. Okay, so unconditionally loving with flaws and imperfections. Empowered women, we will unconditionally love all men, women, and theys. Okay, so with that being said, failure is not about how many scars you're wearing, but people who live pseudo-aliveness and people who, in fact, are not going to do the emotional lifting, they need this to say, yeah, the depth of me, as they weigh themselves down more and more, is going through all this torture and I'm enlightening. This is why we have Zen masters talking about not being able to be in enlightenment, having laundry in your body, and things like that. Okay, and before we continue, a lovely message of the day that came through me, a channeled message, my lovely listeners, with and viewers, of course, with these beautiful, beautiful tarot oracle deck. The Mystical Shaman, in case you're curious. There we go. So the sentence that I'm going to read, I wrote that, though, based on what download came with this. The ancients speak to you with the whisper of the celestial wind that carries away the wings of the small but great navigator of the heavens, the hummingbird. And if you don't know about the symbolism and the meaning of the hummingbird, I'm going to read a little bit. This comes from another website. It represents the north to the sky, to the Father. It is the masculine energy that brings us the message of living life with intelligence, learning from every experience, positive or negative, and having the possibility of being able to correct the route of your flight whenever you feel the need without fear. And that's because, like the hummingbird, who can make epic journeys of 2,000 kilometers, crossing mountains and valleys at 98 kilometers an hour, flying forward but also backwards thanks to the speed of its flapping wings, so can you when you have emotional resiliency that you're building and the mental capacity to understand why the words that come out of your brain are always going to be important. The narrative, you shut it, and you shut the emotions, but you don't suppress, okay? So self-empowered women, that's why we don't have sagas or drama or any of that with our twin flame, flames, or soulmates. And the stories that we get to experience, while other people who are weighed down by emotions think that we're pretending, the ones of us who have an emotional window welcome, no, we're not pretending. Okay, so when you have divine feminine and divine masculine, and that's because you have body-mind harmony, somatics, that's where you have no beef with anything. There's no laundry. So anytime you're feeling the depth of emotions because you're securely attached to your one-year-old, you see your nervous system, you soothe it, and you are able to safely say to your own self, securely, Maria, or use your human name, you're imperfectly, imperfectly flawed and perfectly perfect for yourself. and anybody else who's going to truly love you, because love is easy. Love is kind. Love is we get to fight and talk and all of it. So that's the minute that you know. A third of attunement and repairing ruptures, which is what I got, which is why anytime I have a splinter, it ain't a splinter. What? Nothing happened. Which is also why forgiveness. We don't need to forgive you in this way of, oh, give me a star because I forgave you. So we're going to use my teenage boyfriend and move into, fast forward, the lifestyle of a self-empowered woman with people who lie in your face, behind your back. They don't tell you things. Because I learned the same thing over and over again, which is basically that three-year-olds who are brokenhearted with shame don't know how to talk because they don't know what it's like to be seen, and they don't want you to soothe them because they don't know what it's like to be safe and secure to be their actual authentic self. Okay, so when any person, man, woman, they might they be, comes to me and we're interacting, if there's a hint of anything that's off, I'm not going to do much about it because I've learned from the great therapist like Stephen Porges how people will justify their maladaptive child behavior. And like Terry Real says, we're not here to be partners, therapists. And I agree. And like Patrick Tiahan points out too. Why? Because if you don't want to even do emotional stuff with self-development and improvement, you can better bet they're not going to tell you anything about what's going on here. There's no intimacy. I'm going to suppress it by doing the fucking, drugging, drinking, and maybe pretending, who knows what. There's all these different ways that people justify what they do. And then we have groups who are online, you know, supporting each other with the, oh, but it's so painful. I'm doing something different, which is an empowered woman doesn't find anything painful like that. Because again, it's, wow, my heart. Okay, it's a heart, it's a muscle. Oh, it's good. Did I do anything? Nope. Okay, so cool. Healthy self-worth. Nobody's going to be perfect, even if you were perfect. Okay, so again, body, mind, mouth, whatever it is that other people with those gender stereotypes who have a shame cycle, they have a negative talk. Called shame, blame, fault, revenge. Those are safety behaviors. Those are the 0-1-year-olds. They don't see themselves, and the 3-year-olds who have shame submission of themselves. So they have what is a trust break, attachment break, wound, you name it, abandonment, rejection, humiliate, all of it. Put it all in the box. That's not a person who's self-empowered yet. It's all people who could use understanding what self-empowerment is, which is where emotional and chit chatter, okay? So when I've seen people use their pathology, I'm an inner critic, Maria. I have imposter syndrome, and I'm gonna keep on struggling with this because this is what I feel like every day. It's so hard to be me. It's so hard to be me. And so can we repeat the word again? It's so hard to be me. Words matter in the way of how you're gonna feel. So here's what people don't understand is that you create the third attunement and repairing ruptures as they happen within you after a certain point in your life, okay? And so the adolescent is where I'm going to chime in here and say we all have this pruning process, and that's when we're going to meet our second alloparenting group. So your home is the first alloparenting group, which is why if you look yourself in the mirror, am I having an easy time with relationships, lovers, not lovers, friends, or am I suffering in my human being body? As Patrick Tiahan points out, let me read him, because he's the wisest of them all since he's a childhood trauma survivor who's healed, I always say healing, and a therapist who helps the community. That's why he's great at all of it. And as he tells his community, we're a minority, so don't get it wrong. And he shares how not to project in an effective way. If we don't explore our reactions from our past and the impact they have on those around us, the messy disaster just repeats. Luckily for people that are childhood trauma survivors who don't do therapy, they will meet people like me, empowered women, who you won't repeat any disaster. Because whether you're an avoidant or an ambivalent or you're a disorganized, these are the categories, I'm a secure. And I'm a secure with Jesus and God and a mother and a twin and basically where I know what I want to do. I chose as an adolescent with unkindness. By the way, is one of Patrick Tiahan's biggest regrets from his childhood. Mine, I don't have regrets. There's one thing, it's not even a regret, because if I went back in time, because I contemplated it, I would do it all over again. And I learned how I would never speak any word like I did from that moment. So that's why it's a failure. No, it's not a failure. It's actually a really great learning moment. When you're expanding consciousness consistently, there's no rupture from the restorative embodiment of you. Here you go. Now, the nice thing is meeting people that are like this with their emotions and their thoughts, which is why IHP is really awesome for those people who are here. They will talk to me, as I've been able to discuss with a couple and or more people recently, that their therapist, they don't apparently understand that they have a good relationship with emotions and that they have depth. And so they give them these diagnoses when they're not an avoidant. They are clearly simply comfortable with the emotional and mental plane, which is called I have an integrated brain, and you will have worked with mostly people who obviously don't and they need you, that I'm not an avoidant. So you will know if you're an avoidant. You know why? Because anytime I ask somebody who does close their heart off, they'll say, yeah, I close it because I don't want to. Okay, I know my heart's open. So as an adolescent, I wondered, as my heart closed, if you close that, that means that these people who are unkind are choosing. No, you're choosing, Maria. It's not the other way around. Your heart's a muscle. What are you doing? You want to use the word love? Love can't be if your heart is closed. Okay, and so on that note, what is beautiful, by the way, is the journey of our oversoul for the mystics, my lovely twin flames, and my soulmates. You know, that is where, when you get downloads, it's something that is super amazing. The 4D knows nothing of this because they're on Elsa's journey. They don't get home to their three-year-old or their one-year-old, so they're doing pseudo-aliveness, and I'll keep that for another episode. But back to self-empowered women, love more, not less. And when you do share, though, my polyamory community, about polyamory, they don't like it. Not all women nor all men, because if you don't have that capacity to soothe your own nervous system, be your own safe haven in a moment of emotional stuff, you're wanting, you're longing to be seen, to be soothed, to feel safe, to feel secure by an embrace. Okay, so that loneliness is part of it. Shame can be part of it. A lot of different words right now to say it's about a choice I'm presenting to you. Some people, they consciously know I am emotionally and mentally fulfilled. I want a partner and or partners who are emotionally and mentally fulfilling. And that's where with those people, when you present to them information like Terry Real, they say, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point that we have the toxic masculinity, the toxic femininity, and we have bad examples of people thinking they're instructing people of how to get out of it. When here's the deal, any of those gender stereotypes, you're boxing up a human being, which means you're objectifying them. The stereotypes and generalizations are actually a way that doesn't help a person to expand, number one. Number two, they're for the people who are looking just to use words in ways of labels and organize, the left mode people. They're not doing any of this. Okay, so if I am you, are a partner or partners, I'm going to be talking to you about how I feel here. So I'm going to say, you know, I don't feel felt or seen. And in fact, the depths of me is completely not being able to participate. So you're not fulfilling what I know I want in a relationship. Now I'm going to tell you clearly, if you don't know how to interact with me and you have a deal with what is called confrontation in this instant, then I'm going to know you're not empowered as a woman, man, or they, and that you're a maladaptive child behavior. You're a three-year-old brokenheartedness with a one-year-old who just got basically this, and so you're freaking out inside, if you will, and you got a 16-year-old. And so here's the deal, though. If you don't speak the truth to my face as you're getting into what is a shame, self-doubt, whatever it is that is yours, it's fear, I can't do anything about you getting afraid, wearing a mask, and not telling me to my face something. And all the good therapists teach anyone who goes to them, and to me too in my classes, about why this cancel culture, it's not only about social media, which is what people want to point a finger at. No, it's just kids didn't learn how to engage face-to-face. We have also had a period where we were all locked up and stuff like that. I'm going to say from my experience, and I wasn't locked up in 1996, and in 1999, and in 2000, and in 2007, and in 2010, I'm going to let you all know I'll have plenty of maladaptive children with this little cancel culture, even before cancel culture became a buzzword, by the way. So while I do understand what I'm learning from the therapist, what I also know out in the big bad world, it's not a bad world. It's a world made of a bunch of people who don't know anything about being human and who think self-empowerment means that they're going to be in their sympathetic being an asshole, if you will, instead of seeking to understand, oh, wait, I'm getting emotional. Let me have a conversation. Okay, when you're a three-year-old with no fears, why you have no beef saying, this is what I'm feeling. I don't feel that I can be myself. So, you know, you're not cutting it for me. And it won't be in a way of let me humiliate you. No, but if you don't know how to say, wow, that really hurt my feelings. And I can say, well, you know, I'm sorry it did, but I am telling you something that's important to me. So are we going to try and figure it out or not? So the conversation doesn't cease when you have functional adults. And when you have empowered women and men, that's what happens. So nobody backs off from what is a face off. And if somebody does, then they back off. So here's another example, and this is just relationships overall, as romantic are not the most challenging, by the way. In fact, romance doesn't really begin unless a person can commit, for those of us who are empowered, because we're going to tell you to your face things, and if you don't know how to answer back, we're not going to notice anything because you're not going to tell us to our face. So I am not laughing because it's funny. I actually laugh for all the not empowered women and men out there who talk about toxic masculinity and toxic femininity. And it's like, you're not even empowered human beings. You're using gender stereotypes. You're telling me that I need to let a man open my door so he can feel good about himself. If I have a man who needs me to let him open a door and he can't tell me it or talk to me about it, I'm not going to let anyone open the door. Or better said, I don't want a child. I'm not going to tend to you in that way. If I have to tend to your ego, it will be because I have no capacity to actually have a face-off. So there are moments where, because of important conversations between people in general, that is the part. Any human being will know I want to have a conversation means not over the phone. We need to see each other. We need to engage in that bodily connection. And it sounds silly, but it's the capacity to look in each other's eyes. It's the capacity to engage in what is going to be an interaction. My one friend that we didn't talk for 5 years because I chose not to. This is what happened. Two days of conversations, and I was not in my best mood. No. In fact, I learned from him how I would never do that again, because my friend showed me just how much cowardly people can be when they face potential rejection. And at that point, I was older. It was how old? 30-ish? And I was like, okay, wow. I'm 30 now. He's my age too. And he's afraid of rejection. And as now an attachment and trauma-informed person, I just know that men, women, or theys, if they don't know how to do them, I'm not going to be trying to do anything because it's not funny. It's literally more of, okay, 2024, Patrick Tiahan's online, Tara Reels online. There's a lot of great therapists online. You obviously have no interest in building more intimate relationships with anyone. And when I see the groups of the, oh, here's the attachment avoidant, here's the attachment this, oh, secure attachment is boring. Really? No, it's not, but okay. You got breakup coaches. Okay, so I'm, again, going to leave that alone because I know that that serves a community of 0-1-year-olds who need that level of group. They need the, I want all the bystanders to come with me so I can feel certain that I'm okay. And that's their group. Our group, 5D Collective, 5D Mystics, Enlightenment Soul Age Group, Functional Adult Group, we like to be self-agents and share beyond the solo self-connection. So I'm going to tell you how I feel and think, and I'm going to expect that you know how to have a conversation, and I will not feel ashamed, guilty, bad, or like it's my fault, or that I need to hold some grudge because you didn't have the capacity or don't have the capacity to notice that you're afraid to talk. As a grown, in this case, 44-year-old woman, it's different if I'm talking to 16-year-old, and I don't talk to 16-year-old like that because I'm going to be a person who will be asked maybe by a 16-year-old or 17-year-old, something like, hey, how do I handle this? I'm going to give you my opinion depending on what you're asking me. You know what I mean? I'm not engaging in a conversation with you in the way that I was talking about. That's going to be for those who are in my age group. And that is something that we're not like, you know, I know of people with a big, what is it called? They make a big deal out of ages. And there's a big deal with the law. We all know how to respect all those items. But I'm saying when it comes to conversing in general, you will treat people the way you want to be treated. So hopefully that's clear. It's not about romancing. It's about no matter the age group I'm going to speak to, but obviously a young age group, I'm going to understand that that question and or the way that I want to try and answer you is going to, I'm going to try and think like a grown up to say what would be ideal for me to share or not share, like the good therapists do with the cancel culture, and telling them, okay, any type of confrontation is going to be something that creates anxiety within you. So you're going to know, though, that a younger person is more sensitive. Not going to tell them to act like a grown-up already. You're going to understand that they're more vulnerable, and you're going to try and see if there's a way that you can help them to learn how to be less vulnerable with themselves, and then to understand that the challenge is still presented with the equation, and also that they're not going to think that you know anything more than what they know, because if any one of you remembers being a teenager, it didn't matter what the grown-ups would say, you're still going to think you already know what you're doing. And here's why, as an adolescent, when we all went through our lovely pruning process, all of us got to decide who was our next allo parenting group, and also who are you going to trust. And here's where an empowered woman is going to trust herself, because there's a good gut, though. And there's, I don't doubt myself. I know how to create an equation, and I know how to tell you what I want, and I won't change my mind. And I know how to hear what you tell me, and then I know how to recalibrate, and then I know how to work with whatever it is that you're presenting to me, because I'm not gonna babysit you and tell you what to be in life. And here's the part of where instead we have people who want each other, those 0-1 year olds, to tell each other, it's gonna be okay, I'm gonna tell you what to do, and they are working in that kind of relationship. That's not where an empowered woman is gonna be. You don't tell me how to think, and you don't tell me how to feel. You see the differentiated self that I am, and you're differentiated, and we link, and we create a we. And here's where Daniel Siegel, thank you so much, with integration of the brain comes in. And so a person who's empowered, woman, man, or they might they be, they will be seeking a person who knows how to say something. So again, teenagers, they don't know how to talk for reasons of them being teenagers. The adults get to share what it means, which is it's uncomfortable. A healthy, self-worth adult. Because the ones who are doing gender stereotypes and all that shit, yeah, they're not helping any teen to understand how to expand more. They're giving them boxes. And boxes are completely different than what we're talking about here, which is why the whole age group thing, I was trying to say there's different age groups for different reasons, right? And different types of conversations that come in. But a healthy, self-worth woman is not going to go telling the teenager women or girls or boys or theys that there's a need for them to identify with the feminine energy, masculine energy, or any of that. There's going to be a whole bunch of different things that you would talk about. It's not going to be, yes, you have to have a man open the door or not open the door, unless you're, again, boxing them up. And that's for a group of people, because we also will have the group of people who instead they want those traditional roles. So they're going to teach traditional roles. And we consistently as a species have had this difference within the mindset as we've moved towards our day and era, which is why some people, they make it seem like we are not moving forward, but this is not true. When you look to the past from where we're standing, we have made headway. We're going to keep moving forward, not backwards, because life doesn't go backwards, but also because ignorance is what was backwards. And then we have educational information now, which is, again, where people don't even realize whenever they're complaining about those of us that are using new words, new desires, new lifestyles, okay? So the people who are like, oh, tradition is done and the ancients are done and nobody, you know, when they're comparing, they're doing something that is not being in the now, which is the past is here. We have had it. And an analysis that is done with where are we moving next. We don't need to use the past with the future. That's not how it works. We know what we will have learned from the past, and we can keep it. In fact, canceling it doesn't help, because that's how we can forget things, right? So seeing cancel culture, it's all about not being able to speak because of emotional overwhelm. which is in fact the part about recovery and bystanders and that trust break and trauma break in people who are in their sympathetic and or upset. Okay, so that's a whole different topic, and I'm totally going and just giving you some different food for thought, okay? And we're going to return back to our lovely relationships, okay? And in this instance, like I was saying, if somebody doesn't know how to tell you what they're thinking or feeling and doesn't know how to understand what you're telling them, that's not my business to do anything about it, because only you can take and work with your emotional plane like a young adult, which, by the way, the age 30 is ideal because our executive decision-making function areas in our brain, which I believe are here or the frontal lobe somewhere, they consistently are growing, and they finish growing for the women, physical women, 25, and the physical men, 27, something like that. 25, 27, or it was 27, 30, but I'm forgetting that data point. I can go look it up, but that's why, again, remember, I forget things. It'll happen again and again. And words, don't use them according to dictionary, because I'm trying to give you a concept. And I'm going around. I'm not doing how-tos in order. That's not how any of this is. Any of it. Even the Ask Maria, it's an opinionated columnist episode for a reason. If you need a how-to, that's a whole different type of content. And you want to make specifically the request, hey, Maria, give me 3 steps too. And then I'll be like, okay, here, let me spoon feed you the 3 steps, because that's how it feels. But I can do the 3 steps. We have the inner growth mindset exercises. Some of them are on the blog. You can check those out. And that has a 1, 2, 3, but it's still not the same. I know that there are those who just dissect everything. That's a left brain thing. I do right mode with left. I'm an analogical. So I go around like a spiral. That's why that beautiful card. It's a divine feminine. It's a gift. And divine masculines, they will get used to it eventually. Eventually, they figure it out. And that's because once you hear us enough times, you're like, okay, I need to wait all the way to the end, which teaches patience, by the way. And that's funny, because we learn patience in a different way. Because, see, masculines, they need to, you know, prove their stuff. So this is where a feminine, like, really, how many more etches on that stone do you need to do before you figure it out? Like, I'm here, I'm waiting, waiting, time's ticking, where are you? Wait, what time is it? Okay, seriously, that's actually something funny. So divine feminines and divine masculines, when they're empowered, they definitely know how they can complement each other. And so, yes, we both learn about patience in different ways. This is the beauty of empowerment, and we don't objectify, and we don't own anyone, and nobody owns us. Okay, now that I'm done teasing with you, I'm thinking that I was going somewhere, but I will conclude. I will conclude with the fact that relationships are fun, always, for those of us who are empowered women. And it's sad to see that men and women in days don't know how to get it together. But then again, it's not true. We're making headway to where we are going. And so the sad part is about connection. And it's because we don't see eye to eye that we will not be connecting. But if we can disengage from the anger, which is correction, which is where you got all those yelling people and all those stereotypes, which don't allow for us to become integrated. Because integration of the brain, one, happens when you are confident as yourself. So I differentiate and I link. So I know that culturally speaking, Maria has a different background, family, secure attachment, all this stuff. And I don't filter my mouth in the way you might want me. And I don't use words in any way, shape, or form the way you would want me. And in fact, you could misunderstand my words and get pissy in your pants. But if you know how to talk versus cancel versus be reactive versus be a maladaptive child behavior Cusco attitude, which is what I see, or one who wants to say, no, it's always going to be this way, the always, the never. I know I sometimes use these words. I try to catch myself, because nothing is always, never, a lot, a little. You know, these are expressions from our own subjective world. And so trying my best is for reasons of communication. But I know that I won't always be able to do that, because it's how we also just talk to each other, right? And we talk with emphasis. So we add a lot, never, for emphasis. However, my thoughts are soft. Because my emotions are easy, when we have people who do split thinking or the black and white thinking, the ones who are maladaptive, thoughts are hard and emotions are overwhelming sometimes. That's why there's the non-bilateral integration, and then there's suppression or there's the reactivity. And the reactivity is when you can check your mood and say, wait a minute, I'm having a conversation. This is not a truth. Nobody has a truth. I don't need to get pissy in my pants while I'm interacting with what is food for thought. And that's where you can disengage from cognitive dissonance, from structural dissociation also, from a lot of what is reactivity with people having different political, religious, and all of that. And what I didn't think would become a trend is people just, yelling at each other and then thinking that that is empowerment. It's not. So when I see, again, women yelling at men or creating the viral videos about what I find insulting, because you're literally making out every human being, man, 8 billion people we are, to be a group of people. It's a bullshit. It's a data point we don't have. There's generalized statistics that show things that we're facing, but people will grab the one that appeases whatever they're trying to say versus remember that the analysis, any analysis, if you're going to look at it, you're going to want to look at it with an accredited body, and they're going to keep on revisiting those analyses together as a group that are experts, which is not what social media is about. We're creating conversations. I will keep repeating food for thought. Misunderstandings are something that are going to be always, but when somebody understands, I'm coming in with something that is a random share, and a person who's looking to expand will be good with that. A person who wants to prove they're right, that's not an infinite higher human conscious potential person. They don't want this experience. This is what I'm bringing. So they want the filtered mouths. They want to have the ability to silence the group that they want to, which is what we're facing right now, right? We're facing in parts of the world the fact that how are we going to get the two sides of coins that are clashing to meet in the middle? And that's something that requires us to lift our two hands and our two feet. We go and vote, and we're going to figure that one out. And one side is going to move into being the one who decides, and that's not something fair, is it? No, but does that not, that's how the world seems to work, which is why some of us know, okay, it's about us as a collective moving together. If we have people who silence each other and they're yelling and screaming, well, there's going to need to be a mediator, which is what the organizations do. They mediate. And the part of how people feel about what we are seeing out there, I am not in favor of a disorganized attachment, which is what the world looks like. Thank you, Daniel Siegel, for that, because that's exactly how it feels. They don't differentiate and link. No, they don't accept cultural differences. And I'm talking about us socializing. When it comes to the negotiations, I have a master's in international relations and diplomacy. You go and vote. That's a profession. Those are professionals. So I'm not in that boat. I'm saying when I look out in the world, when I see people mingling and tingling, they are silencing each other on gender stereotype issues and other things, politics, and they're yelling at each other and they get in each other's faces in ways that I find completely ridiculous, because that's not a conversation. And the part about, though, wanting to talk about different things, so some of us, we're not interested in engaging in politics or religion because it's boring. Because, well, for me, it's daunting. Because I recognize a long time ago what's happening. And the 7 to 14 charming are the ones that I want to try and work on getting out of that space. So the grandiose human beings who have a narcissistic break and an ego break, and basically they're in Michael Stone's forensic criminologist. Yep, they're all there. I see them. I know who they are. Not all of them, but all I need to do is see them and I can, and you know, here's the funny part. There's actually a website. I need to go visit it again. It gives the soul age groups for each country out there in the world. I haven't done it because it's not really something necessary. As a 5D mystic, I already know that. But I'd be curious for my own intellectual interest at some point to say, let me evaluate what is that. Let me see. Should I, go and see what each political figure is and take a look at it. But that, again, I digress. It's for a whole different episode. But as a person who is always looking at multidimensional facets from from an energetic imprint perspective, right now, the side note to the personal development, I know that we're continuing to move the way that things move. In fact, we're going to do this. Life always knows that life leads itself to more. And people call this naivete. And that's why I laugh when I hear the physicists say the hard problem of consciousness. It's also why I laughed at myself when I said in a moment's time, sometime back, where Sadhguru shared that it would be his last lifetime. And in my head, I said, he doesn't know that. He just thinks that because he's a spirituality guru. So those who are completely within the spirituality group, they love, they're here for that. They're here to, and it's not about love. They're here to impart that wisdom, which will carry on within books. But we're headed in an era where science proves pretty much a lot. And I do confirm and believe that at some point, even the Big Bang will be discussed. So the part about them knowing everything, nobody will, well, I never say never, never say ever. But the point is, when you ask a person who's tapped into this sphere in an enlightenment soul age, from this mystic's perspective, just again, random share. As he's speaking this, I'm like, nah, he doesn't know that. None of us know that for a fact. He's just saying it. So I was expressing Maria's own subjective mystic opinion. And later on, I forget how much farther later on, there was some other data point or download or some information that came to me, which was science prevails, because it's going to tell us everything pretty much about life. And it's not a bad thing. It's education, it's information, okay? So it's not about a theory or hypothesis. I'm just using a human being brain. I'm not a flat earther. Science is, neuroscientist Patrick McNamara explains how brain works when there's nightmares. No demonic possession. I'm not going to believe the story. I'm not a child. This is not a story. We're talking about people. So science explains to me how you're made, and that's how I'm made. And I support those, again, who want to be empowered for real, not pretend. And I have shared about spirituality and sciences, and there are those who don't like it. They say, no, maybe you're misunderstanding. And I said, one, I'm not going to be in the future as Maria, so it doesn't even matter right now that you're presenting me that. But I, of course, acknowledge you don't like that conclusion, because you're a person who's wanting to have something behind. I don't need something behind to motivate me to live life with joy. I learned about the cycle of life from my biology class in high school. That's why I said life always leads itself to more. With God, I learned about the same, that I don't need to lift a finger, that I'm going to get whatever is meant for me, and that I am going to have to accept it, because that's what happens in the unknown. Something hits me in the face. Oh, it already hit me in the face. What am I going to do? Well, it hit me in the face, which is why I like Daniel Siegel. Forgiveness is not about you justifying, it's that the past already happened. But it's also funny, my lovely listeners, because at the same time, it always feels like that wheel of time is just never, ever, ever. I mean, the amazing way that you can always have so much come together, and that's why this is amusing, bringing to you different food for thought. I decided to allow this type of content, creativity, to come forth. And so again, a self-empowered woman, we enjoy more of our relationships, not less. And I'm going to say that I look forward to seeing the empowered men and women out there. They are out there. The ones who don't do gender stereotypes, who do, I'm a person, and we're going to have a conversation, okay? And not the ones who hide away, the ones who learn information, not the ones who think that there's a competition between science or spirituality, because there's not. Educated people, educated minds, they know how to, chit-chat. And that's the beauty of masculinity and femininity, by the way. It's not about opening a fucking door or about me giving you anything. Those of us who know the energetic imprint as well as the characteristics and the character traits, it's because of using this. And so when you see me, I will feel felt. When I see you, you will feel felt. And when I'm differentiating and linking, when I accept cultural differences, lifestyle differences, mindset differences, the way you want to love differences, and we respect those, and we know that pleasure and enjoyment and fulfillment means not a fake one. You know what I'm saying. But point is, if something makes me blue and angry and something uncertain, I get to talk to you. And that's the minute of it's not you changing me, fixing me, or none of that. That's not what partnerships or relationships are about. It's you hearing and then us sharing. And then obviously the part about for a lot of people, it's just, okay, we can try it again. I'm going to use one random example and then I'll let you go. So I was given this, I had a member of my family die and the person that I'm with didn't show any type of emotional concern. They didn't even notice it. This is that non-bilateral integration that is typically what men, women, I'm not sure of those dynamics, but I'm going to say all. So if you find yourself being a feminine energy and then the masculine, it'll mean that you're more of a nurturer. So you feel emotions deeper. We'll just put it that way. Even though everyone feels emotions deeply, but you have an awareness of them. Okay, so we'll put it in this instance. And your inner child is there. So you're connecting to the emotional plane and the inner child of another. If the other, which is the masculine, is leading with the left, the right and wrong, organized, and really it's not even only that, because it's a reductive conversation. But the non-bilateral integration is where you're not in a full-fledged intimate relationship here. And so there's a moment of, I'm upset, you don't recognize it, but for all I know, you're overwhelmed by it, and you don't know how to handle those emotions. So you're not doing it to try and be cold with me. You're unaware, because you're in your biological rudeness, thank you, Stephen Porges, about your behavior and your mood. You're not self-reflective. You're not noticing it. And if I present it to you and you don't want to, you're going to justify it versus say, okay, hold on. You're right. I was overwhelmed, so I didn't know how to be present. Or, you know what, you're right, meaning I didn't know. How can I make a difference? Okay. And this is the part of where you would know if you can, though. Sometimes there are moments where we will know I will not be able to satisfy the request you are asking of me. And that is something that I've found myself on the other end of the spectrum doing, is I'm not going to be able to meet what you emotionally are asking of me. Doesn't mean that we're happy to say that, but we're going to say the truth. And somebody will say, you're just finding an excuse. And that's something that is of their business. When you're comfortable being who you are, you say, look, I didn't ask you to like it. I'm informing you of who I am, and what I'm capable of. You can think whatever you want. You can make up that I'm not trying hard enough. You can, in fact, this is the love-dependent, insecure people. I have had recently one of my friends, you don't try to make an effort. They must be having some bad days or something like that, because they've written me at least two or three times, and they're talking about people not doing anything to try and meet with them, and them not, you know, wanting to ask people to be around, and then again they are, and it's the tone and the mannerisms, and then the part of I'm sharing this with a smile. I'm not upset about it. You're a contradiction right now, which is you're telling me that you're suffering about something that we're not capable of coordinating because of different schedules. And then you're telling me that you're smiling. And however, you're insisting on the fact that we're not doing it enough. Inconsistent communication is an indication of, obviously, emotions up and down, chit-chatters, rumination, and then people engaging with others. But being able to meet each other in the middle does involve actions that we can take together. And some people are capable of also allowing themselves to know that we have different schedules completely and to arrive at a secure connection, safe haven. So here's where secure connections are safe haven, secure bases. But sometimes they might just be secure bases or safe havens. So if I cannot meet the emotional needs that you have because I cannot call you the times you want to call or go out, and you're going to have to find somebody else to fulfill that. The part about not taking it personally, that's where you can find empowered women, men, and theys. So it's not going to be, I'm at fault, I'm to be blamed, I'm ashamed, I'm guilty, I'm this, I'm that. None of that. The teenagers get to learn from the grown-ups who have healthy self-worth how not to feel ashamed, guilty, fault, any of this. If they have emotional and mental different needs and exchanges with people, it's not by shaming each other or getting angry at each other. It's by having those conversations. It does not mean that the conversation ends where two people will find, yeah, okay, we can do it. Yay. No, sometimes it's we don't match. We don't match in how we want to conduct our love language. And it's not something that happens often at all if you have empowered people. Actually, never. The only time it happens is when you got a maladaptive child behavior. You got a 0-1-year-old who doesn't feel seen, soothed, safe, secure to be their self. And so you got a human being who's wanting to latch on. That creates a dependent relationship, not a healthy, self-worth, independent relationship, which a self-empowered woman, man or they, shall they be, will know, which is why stereotypes, they're out the door. It's a bullshit story to use a stereotype, whether it's gender, politics, religion, whatever it is you're going to throw in the mix. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to a person, which is also why it's objectifying, dehumanizing. And whenever somebody wants to tell me, you're a woman, you don't know anything about men. Fine, sure. I'm not going to try. What I do know is that the things that are proven, so neuroscience, I've recently had a little bit of a download on that information, and it makes sense. There are things that make a lot of sense, and the gender stereotypes, that doesn't have to be a fixed thing at all. And anytime, again, people present to me numbers, I'm like, yeah, well, I know of other numbers too. So it's a conversation that always, anything we talk about with people, there's not one dimension, there's not one statistic, there's not one study. And people who want to generalize based on gender, based on the past, based on anything, are closed-minded in the book of a person who has that infinite higher human conscious potential experience to say, bullshit, because I have different experiences with these. And no, it's not always specific to country. It's not always specific to gender. It's not always specific. Oh, but you're making up based on your subjective experience. Well, you're making it up based on a data point and another data point that tomorrow, for all we know, might change and that you're not considering or evaluating. But I'm the woo-woo pseudoscience bullshit lady, right? So again, this is where it's subjective experiences that we have right here. Because qualitative is a research paper in a book that you can go read, and it's still going to be something that will be discussed over and over and over again, because the academics that do qualitative, they have lovely debates. Quantitative, like Neil Grass, I think is his name, in one of the Cosmos it was, he talks about how to remember that true sciences, they know of how many of that quantitative data is needed, and then that you can always disprove potentially something and then reprove it. And so once again, discerning minds, they enjoy stuff like this. It's conversations. Discerning minds also don't take offense. People who are grown men, women, and theys don't box anything up. They're not looking for the buzzwords. They're not looking for the princesses of Venuses of May to categorize in what are basically sales pitches of the mantles of mental health, the mantles of yoga, the mantles of anything, which is where you'll notice the difference between those who are mantles and those who are not the minute they begin to voice to you. Now, sometimes I've noticed that their sales pitch little title doesn't mean anything, because once you start watching the content, there's a lot of value. But I also have noticed that a lot of times those who are limited, they're limited in an effort to, though, educate those who are still needing that type of boxed up conversation. So to be continued for us in the meantime, opening ourselves to being discerning in a way that is curious, not in a way that is of those who need to prove things. We get to be curious of each other, different relationships, different types of gender ideas in general, no gender ideas. We're human beings, and some of us are mystics and some of us are not. So again, please be welcoming. Please be an ear that people can listen to and you can listen to them, and that those eyes that can see each other. And as long as you're working with the emotional stuff and you're not throwing it at them or in here, then you're going to have a really good time chit-chatting away. We'll be back with more. Have a good day.